All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Is everyone here?
Yes.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. This is the time and place set for a status hearing in the case of Navarette versus Garland. Counsel, we are aware that this case went to mediation and was not resolved in mediation. So we're curious about what the status of the case is and if there are any avenues for relief still available for the petitioner. So, counsel for petitioner, why don't you start first and let us know where we are with this case?
Yes, Your Honor. Good afternoon. My name is Roger Green for the petitioner, and may it please the court in updating this honorable court about the status on this case. Both my office through for petitioner as well as government counsel OIL, we have made headway into moving forward with alternative relief resolution. At an earlier juncture, a motion was filed and it's not opposed by us to have judicial administrative closure. And that was filed with this honorable court on May the 19th of this year.
Yes, counsel, but go ahead, Judge Schroeder.
Yeah, well, we understand that, but what is the purpose of that? Are there still ongoing negotiations? Why did you stop cease mediation?
Thank you, Judge Schroeder. Just in terms of as an alternative relief, it would give, instead of moving forward on the litigation aspect, it would allow him the ability, it's my understanding, it would allow him the ability to remain in the country and have the case, if the case is set in abeyance, or if the case, if this matter is no longer on track before the court, it would allow him to remain in the country through the avenue of administrative closure.
Maybe it would be helpful if I chime in, since I was the one that was taking place at the mediation. The joint administrative closure is sort of a process our office uses to give DHS a time to consider individual cases for PD and for other purposes. During mediation in this case, there must have been a breakdown in communication or misunderstanding, because it wasn't my intent or petitioner's counsel intent to have the case released from mediation. We were both surprised by it. So I think there was a miscommunication between us and Mr. Kaiser, who was the mediator at the time. And so when the court issued its order, opposing counsel approached me and said, well, why don't we go forward with the joint admin closure the way we had intended? What happens is that our office takes a position as a default on administrative closure, but I defer to the court's mediator as to how we proceed. In a lot of cases, the mediators choose mediation over our filing of the joint admin closure. And so that happened here, but there was always an intent to file the judicial admin closure on behalf of myself and opposed counsel. And I think the purpose was that we thought keeping it in mediation would put more pressure on DHS to respond to my inquiries. So if we kept saying I have mediation coming up on this date, that it would have, DHS would respond a lot faster. And that happened. I was never able to get through to a duty attorney. I kept being the desk clerk who kept informing that I need to keep submitting the request for PD over and over and over again. And so I wasn't getting any response. And even today, I don't have a response from DHS.
What is PD?
PD is prosecutorial discretion. It's the DHS has to decide how they want to focus on their cases or on an individual case. Any kind of discretionary exercise to maybe withhold removal or whatever that case may be. Our office doesn't have prosecutorial discretion. We don't have that authority.
It's only at DHS?
Correct. So we defer to them. And so what judicial admin closure does is it gives us a tool to be able to give DHS an opportunity to respond to these inquiries. Some jurisdictions are better at responding than others. Some are pretty quick. Some you can actually get, you can reach attorneys at the DHS office. Others you cannot. So because of this hodgepodge, instead of having a mediator commit its resources and time and a court commit its resources and time, we elect to do this admin closure. Give everybody a time to get on the same page.
How likely is it that DHS would exercise prosecutorial discretion in this case? Is this a likely candidate?
Yes. Out of many of the cases that I've seen, this is probably one of the more strongest cases for prosecutorial discretion.
Why?
Because the petitioner has been here since 2000, married to a wife who's actually been granted TPS status. He has a pending I-130 visa application. He has a U.S. citizen child. He's got a U.S. citizen sibling that's petitioning on his behalf. And his only violations here in the country are traffic violations. He had two driving without a license and a speeding ticket. And they occurred in 2010 and I believe 2012. So based on these findings, we agreed that the petitioner was a viable candidate for prosecutorial discretion. But I guess, you know, with the pending litigation, with, you know, the Biden administration, with them trying to iron out how they want to implement their guidance, things have been a little bit slower than we would have liked. So that's kind of like why this Jack motion is very helpful. It just sort of, you know, helps be mindful of everybody's time and energy facing down DHS.
Well, we could always just resolve the case and then he could still pursue the visa application, correct?
Yes, the application is still pending, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to place it in judicial admin closure for resolution on that, as well as prosecutorial discretion. So he had two avenues of relief, but I can't grant it from my office. And so to take it off the court's docket, judicial admin closure is just simply a tool to kind of take it off the docket so that DHS has the time to exercise whatever authority they're going to exercise over this case.
Counsel, if we were to resolve the case, let me just say hypothetically, if we resolve the case and we denied the petition, does DHS still have the discretion not to execute the judgment?
I'm not as clear on DHS's position, and I think that's part of the problem because it's sort of in flux in between the two different administrations. It's not clear, and I don't think all the offices are on the same exact page.
So the discretion can only get exercised before there's a final judgment, but not afterwards?
Well, part of the reason why they have the discretion is that they want to try to preserve resources. If you make a final adjudication on the case, then all the resources would have already been usurped and used up. And so that's part of the purpose of trying to have people weigh in when it's not necessary, or to expend their resources and time trying to weigh in on the issue or matter.
Well, would it be helpful if we deferred submission for 6 months or something like that?
It would be helpful, but I spoke with a duty attorney in Los Angeles, and what they told me was that the cases that are being considered for prosecutorial discretion before their offices, they give priority to the cases that are currently pending before the agency. And that a lot of the cases that are coming up through the Court of Appeals are getting secondary looks. So it's kind of hard to tell how long it will take. So I would like to say they could do it in 6 months, but it might take them literally 18 months to maybe adjudicate this PD case. And that's why judicial admin closure has sort of been our go-to, giving that kind of space to DHS to be able to adjudicate the request.
This case has already been pending in our court for a considerable period of time. And we also have concerns about resolving the cases that we have before us. And so I'm not particularly inclined to just put a case in limbo for years and years, because when they come back, it's really difficult for us to get up to speed on it again. And this is the second time we've had this case before us. So we kind of have an interest as well in adjudicating the cases as opposed to putting them in administrative closure and having them on our docket or in our system for years and years.
Yes.
So
yes,
unless there's some real potential for relief here, I think it's our interest is in resolving the case and then let the process work as it will. Judge Schroeder?
Well, I don't want to leave the petitioner in the soup if we were to decide against him and deprive the agency of its priority exercise of discretion. So would it be helpful if we sent it back to mediation? It sounds like it got kicked out of mediation prematurely.
I would be okay with that.
I agree.
Mediation. The other concern that a lot of petitioners have too is that if you actually weigh in on a case and the case or petition is denied on the merits, they may not be eligible for a work authorization as well. So while he's trying to adjudicate PD, you could create a situation, a scenario where he wouldn't have the ability to work while he's still waiting for his application to be considered. And he currently does have a commercial driver's license. He's been a truck driver for several years. So I think it wouldn't be very helpful to him to deprive him of his ability to provide for them while DHS exercises its authority.
Well, it looks like DHS needs to move more expeditiously on these cases because it feels like we're being held hostage, all of us, to DHS. And I'm not sure that that's a sufficient basis for us to engage in dereliction of our responsibility because DHS is not acting in an efficient manner. Judge Bobby, what do you think?
Yeah, that's very interesting that if we deny it on the merits, that there are collateral consequences for him. So if he would no longer be eligible for a work permit, this would not be a very good, that would not be a good situation if DHS is inclined to exercise some kind of prosecutorial discretion. Now, on the other hand, the problem is from our perspective, for both counsel, is it looks like DHS is not inclined to exercise prosecutorial discretion. Been sitting here for years, it went to mediation, it's still pending before us, and you can't get DHS to move off the dime.
Well, Your Honor, Your Honor, if I may respectfully add to the court's concern, and Judge Bixby, recently there has been, and I believe Ms. Clay is also very well aware of it, there's been the what's referred to as the Doyle memo, which has only been recently issued, which provides a more relaxed concern in terms of adjudicating prosecutorial discretion cases. And that's in within the immigration courts, for example, that's been put into actual use in like the month of June, things like that. This follows the her memo, which would start these to put action onto these cases. And so it's what I guess what I'm getting at, Your Honor, is that it's if it has been slow in the process, I believe that this memo is been the spur to get things moving, which would address your concern as well as Judge Rawlinson and Judge Schroeder's concerns as well.
I'm also just curious as to whether we have any powers here, any coercive powers beyond just simply deciding the case. So, for example, if we were to give counsel, 30 days for DHS to indicate whether or not it intended to do this, whether that would look to DHS like a mandamus order to go up or down on this one. And Ms. Clay, I don't know whether that would be effective with DHS.
I don't know if it would be effective, but I wouldn't oppose using a order from the court to kind of put DHS to make a decision on this particular case. I mean, I've had cases that go straight for, relief in a couple, like 60 days. But, in this particular instance, this particular office is a little bit slower on moving with the PD inquiries. And it may be that they have a larger backlog of cases, because San Francisco is one of the larger jurisdictions that handle immigration cases. This particular case, I think we had only been in mediation for about 6 months, I believe. I think we went into mediation in August of 2021. And then the case was placed back on the docket in April. So it hasn't necessarily been that long, even though I filed my brief, I believe it was in December of 2020.
You indicated before that there was a misunderstanding that caused us to get the order that mediation had been exhausted.
Yeah, I think, well, when we were in mediation, like I always tell the mediator that our office prefers to file a case, the judicial admin closure motion. What happened was, but I always defer to the mediator. And so if the mediator says that based on the posture of the case, because it was so close and it had been set to panel that mediation was the preferred option, I deferred to his preferred option. And I was under the impression that he was going to tell us when it was okay to file a joint admin closure motion. And that never happened. We got the motion to release it from mediation, and Jenny and I kind of felt flat-footed. Like, I thought we were waiting for him to tell us it was okay from the, like, we didn't know if he would entertain the joint admin closure so close to oral argument, since it was, the notice of oral argument had came up. And I think that was sort of the misunderstanding at the time. Was it really a viable option? Because we could have done it initially, but just thought maybe it was so late in the process that maybe they thought that mediation would be a better way to move forward.
And well, the purpose of mediation is for the parties to agree to resolve the case. Yes. And dismiss the appeal. And so from the mediator's perspective, if the parties were not moving toward resolution, administrative closure is not resolution of the case. And so that's probably why the mediator released the case from mediation, because the parties had not agreed on a way to resolve the case. And it seems like there still is no agreement on how to resolve the case, because agreement in this case would look like some type of relief being granted so that the appeal could be dismissed.
The petition could be dismissed. But I do think that we have come to a conclusion. We think that I-130 is a possible resolution in the case. And we also think that PD is a possibility. The only problem is DHS is the only agency that has that discretion. And so I can't do anything about it. And council can't do anything about it. And we were just trying to put it in the hands the client, who's the one who has the authority to do that.
Right. The client being DHS.
Yes, our client, DHS, because they have the authority. We're hamstrung too. If we had the authority like we did, I mean, some of the under the Obama administration, they were able to give us a little bit more leeway to go back on PD cases. And then we could sit there and say, yeah, this is good for PD, and then kind of chime in with them, and then they chime back. But this time, I think they've elected to entertain all the applications directly. And that has created a different kind of bottlenecking right now, because they want the Office of the Chief Counsel to look over all of these PD requests. And so since we can't do anything about it and opposing counsel can't do anything about it, we were just trying to just table the case off the docket until DHS, who has the authority to do something about it, could resolve it.
Well, but counsel, our concern is, at least my concern is that I don't want to just put this on ice indefinitely. So is there a way that we can put a string on this thing so
yes.
that before our memories go completely cold on it, we can have it resolved and get word from DHS one way or the other? How do we do that?
I think the closure motions don't have to be indefinite. We could put in deadlines for, you know, tapping back in to see if DHS has responded. So like you were saying, Honorable Schroeder, that maybe 6 months might give DHS enough time to chime in on it, and we can actually put a deadline on a motion for 6 months. It doesn't have to be open-ended. And, revisit it at that time. And if it's easier to monitor within the mediation program, then I'm okay with that as well. So he can track the progress of the DHS and their response or inquiry.
But you also think that maybe an order from the court to DHS to indicate whether it intends to exercise prosecutorial discretion might also do the trick.
It might be helpful. Now, I haven't considered it, legal ramifications of it, but I mean, it's helpful for me to be able to go to DHS and say, hey, DHS has a deadline for when they want to know what's going on with this particular application.
Mm-hmm. I like that better, that if our order says something like, you know, if DHS hasn't indicated one way or the other, then we just restore the case to the calendar for decision, because otherwise I don't see any end in sight.
Yeah, so we would essentially defer to submission, or
we have continued deferral, because right now isn't submission deferred right now? Yeah. So we could have continued deferral of submission for 6 months to give DHS time to give us an indication of whether or not it wants to exercise prosecutorial discretion. And if we don't receive any response in time, we'll just resubmit it for a decision.
So I take it that the government would be satisfied with that?
Yes, and I would immediately get in contact with DHS to see movement on a case within 6 months.
Okay, great. And what about the petitioner?
I believe that I share all common ground with both the court as well as government counsel on this. I just, in an abundance of caution, I'm wondering, can the 6 month time be just in an abundance of caution, given the holiday season, for all parties reviewing concern within that 6 months? Could we have 9 months?
Well, I'm very concerned about the 6 months myself. I mean, the 6 months feels like an eternity for a government that's dealing with the kind of problems they are. I'm wondering whether it should be no more than 60 days and force them to make a decision, go up or down. Are you going to do this or aren't you going to do this? And so that we're not dithering around. 6 months seems like a long time, and 9 months seems like a very long time.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be inclined for 9 months. I mean, I was thinking 3 months, but I thought maybe 6 months would be a good term. But
then I fall back on 6 months as
What happens if we went to 60 to 90 days?
60 to 90 days. They're going to, 60 to 90 days. What do you think, Judge Schroeder, about 60 to 90 days?
Well, from what I've heard, I think that's not enough.
Ms. Clay, you may have a better sense of that. I just feel like maybe if there's a short deadline, if they're going to do 6 months, they're going to put it off for 5 and then decide it in the last 30 days.
It's just the way
bureaucracy is working. The way people work. Right. It's the way I would work if I were in charge of DHS. So I'm not throwing stones here.
Well, how about 120 days? That'll put it into the fall.
I have no problem with 120 days. Either they're going to do it or they're not going to do it.
Right.
Okay.
All right. We'll send an order out. We'll discuss this and we'll send an order out. But it probably will be along the line of 120 days, since we don't have consensus on 6 months.
Okay.
Thank you so much,
Your Honors.
All right. Bye-bye. We'll be in touch.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
We are adjourned for this session. Thank you.